Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I want to read in your hearing as you follow along a lengthy section in this sixth chapter of John. But I want to also lay before you, as the chapter itself opens up, it gives us the actual situation, the occasion of the words you're going to hear as you go on later on in the chapter. And you can see it begins with this feeding of the 5,000 and the very sign that came from the Lord Jesus Christ that who he is, and basically the people missed that sign. But what they were more concerned about was the fact that they had something to eat. And Christ fed them. And so that was the situation that they looked at. But I also want to add to this. This is here. This is the fifth sign done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John records the signs in the way they've come. So this is the fifth one, and that is the feeding of the 5,000. So as we read on, and as I open up the message today, you can see how this falls in. I want to begin a reading at verse 22. Now remember, up to this point, he fed the 5,000. The disciples left, went across the Tiberias Sea, or the Sea of Galilee, and then Jesus came walking on the water. So he came on the other side, and so everybody wondering how he got there. Picking up the reading in verse 22. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there, except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boat and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign, so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread out of heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." Dropping down to verse 41. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread of life," or the bread that comes down from heaven. They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you not grumble among yourselves? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. For he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, and so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." No doubt you can see this is one powerful text that we have before us this morning. And as I continue on with the preaching of Christ, I want to look at those ones that we say the I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John's gospel, we come face to face with Jesus and who he is. John's very idea that what he wanted to do is to present Jesus Christ as truly God. He makes it clear that he is one with God, that is John in his writings, the creator also, the giver of eternal life, and the only savior that has come to mankind. And he also indicates in his gospel is that he is the one who has the resurrected power, and as he himself, Christ that is resurrected, so those who believe in him will be resurrected also. John guides the minds of all who read this book into a deep study of the person of Christ. Christ is truly God, and John makes it clear that this is who we are now faced with. This is one significant thing that John focused upon, that is, I ams of Jesus Christ. And all the I ams that we find in the scripture are in the book of John. They begin with, and each one has something to do to show the connection, or I should say the very fellowship with Christ, taking different aspects of that. There are a few incidentals where Jesus answers something with an I am. But there are seven accounts where Jesus is teaching theological truth concerning his person and his mission, and also his connection to his people. Now, survey of Jesus preaching Christ, I want to come to this very one. And this morning, I want to begin with, I am the bread of life. And I know each one of you could have seen that is the case this morning. Now, as we look at this text, I want to bring a few points to you and try to open them up briefly that you and I can understand it, and we can even take our own lives as we live before Christ this morning and find ourselves seeing him as who he is and also viewing our own fellowship with him. And the first one we have here, Jesus is dealing with faith, and that faith in what it is and how essential it is and what it really means to have faith in Christ. But I want to open up the text and looking at the very occasion we have here. And I want to begin with the desires and concerns of the people. Now, we saw it as you read here. The people were concerned with the fact that they had a man who has come. And he's put in the position of a prophet. And many would say that. He was a great prophet who has come and to come to speak to them. But as they begin, they see him, they're concerned with one thing. And I here said their desires and their concerns. Their desires were focused upon this present life. And you can find as you go through the scriptures, you read to all those who are speaking to Jesus, especially through the gospel, their main concern was the here and now. Their main concern is what they can receive. You know, that's the sad thing, even people think today. If you begin to tell them something about Jesus, the first place the mind goes is, how is that going to affect me right now? What is that going to do for me? What is that going to give me? What is that going to take away from me? And so this is the first focus. And so here the same with the people. Notice when we see the desires of the people, Jesus lets us know that their desire was a present desire, and that desire was food. Jesus says in verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, I've reminded you that the chapter began with the fact that Jesus himself feeding the multitude. And you can recall, there was a small portion of food there. And what did Jesus do? He told his disciples to come. He brought the food. He blessed the food. It turned into enough food to feed over 5,000. And I'm told, in other places you read, the 5,000 really basically counting the men. So it could have been double that amount. He fed all those people and had five baskets left over that they took up. Now, so here the people were saying, and Jesus said to them, "You only came to me because your bellies were filled. You got what you wanted, and so now you're running after me to look for something else." They pretended that they had some concern about Jesus Christ. What they really was concerned about is eating. Jesus says to them in verse 27, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." So what do they say? They act like they're more concerned about something else. So in verse 28, "Therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" In other words, they see and hear what Jesus is saying. Get your mind off of food, this life now. Start thinking about what you're going to do and what needs to be done as far as God. Jesus saying the works of God, what do you and I have to do? What do people have to do in order to hear the truth of God and live according to that truth? Now, Jesus is not trying to bring something in here, which a lot of people look at, you know, where if you do good works, you wind up in heaven, you please God. Jesus is not saying that. But Jesus is saying on the right side of it, there's a real relationship between man and God. And how do you come to the place where you are actually doing or presenting yourself in that real relationship? So they say, okay, what do we do? Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." You can see Jesus showing to them, it's not okay, you under the whole idea of what Moses had given you to worship God and go, so therefore go to the temple and do this, go to the temple and do that. Now Jesus says, here is the work of God, believe on him who he has sent. So you see what Christ is doing. He's moving it out of the whole idea of look about you and see what things you can do. And as you do these particular things, God is going to look at you and say, "I'm well pleased with you. Keep on doing these kind of things." Jesus said, it's a new economy now. It's coming under a new situation. All you scribes and Pharisees, all you people of Israel, now you have to do an all entirely different thing. And so he says, this is what it is. And so, again, they prove, they try to act like, you know, we're really interested in this. So they say in verse 30, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, and he gave them bread out of heaven." So they're saying to him, okay, you want us to believe on you. But what do you want us to believe? Or here's what they thought he wanted them to believe. That I'm really sent from the Father, so therefore I'm going to make work a miracle, and then you will understand that I'm him. But what did Jesus say? Remember, Jesus' whole life was a miracle before them. They didn't have to have any new miracle done. They didn't have to have a new sign done. And really, we show that this is the very thing that they missed already. And that's why Jesus takes them to say, all you were concerned about was you had your bellies filled. You notice what he said back in 26 again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." And isn't it something that they would say to him, verse 30, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? Well, what have you seen already? Jesus is telling them this. He basically, what you did, the multiplying of the bread was a sign. You looked at nothing as far as the thinking of what was taking place here. Here I stood before you, he could say, and here my disciples are lined up. We had a small amount of food. It mounted up to enough that it could feed every one of you. And basically you ate and there was more left over. And you were filled. You were satisfied. And then here you are asking for a sign. All you focused on with what I did just a few hours ago, whatever the case may be, you missed it. You ate, you were full, and you were satisfied. And all you're thinking about right now is your life right here and now. The sign. Jesus gave him a sign. Now what a sign is it points to something. And in the scriptures we find the miracles and all of it, we can say they're signs. They really point to something. A sign is showing those who would be seeing what was taking place, the miracle that takes place, is that here is something now that points to God and who he is and what he's doing new now in order for all to understand. Now, if you look back over to verses 12 and 13 and 14. So they gathered them up, that is, and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And that's what Jesus did. Oh, that's what God does with a sign. He authenticates his word and his messenger through a sign. So Jesus says, here, you missed the whole picture. What do you think the multiplying of bread and fish was before you? It was a sign. So Jesus could say, all you were concerned about is your bellies. You did not focus upon the sign or only the results of it. Many people, they go through life and they don't think about what it took to get something to them. All they do is take when it's given to them. We got a world today where young people grow up in homes and basically they don't even think about all that is taken and all that is done by parents to provide for them. And they would walk away and they would live any kind of lives. You know, I'm not talking about anybody here, but if you feel like you're kind of fitting that, let the word take you and catch you where you are. But we see so many people in the streets. They do so much. We see so much on the news, so much in other areas where basically young people are, they don't care about their parents. And the parents, in some cases, they're struggling to make sure they have a decent life. And what do? Well, they skip school and do everything else and go out and party, whatever. And you do all kind of crimes and everything. They don't care. You know, they look at only that what they can receive. And if they're not receiving what they want, they got the worst parents in the world. And what we can see right now, people, even today, they are seeking Jesus for what they can get. We look at this and we say, oh boy, that's a shame that they look at that, you know, that all that Christ has done. And you probably said this, as I've said it sometime in the past, in my earlier days of coming to Christian. If I was back there when Jesus walked the earth, I would not have been like those folk. You know what? We'd probably have been just like them. We probably would have. And we, people today, and shame of the shame to all of us, even sitting here today in this very service, is that we sometimes seek more of what we can get from Christ than what he is to us. Sometimes we have the dark clouds come over us. We have what we're going through. Instead of just thinking about Christ and who he is and who he is to us, we want him to take us out of this misery at the present time. Or we may be something, maybe short. You know, like somebody said, we got more month than we have money. We come to the end, oh, I'm not going to be able to pay all my bills. You know, well, Lord, do something here. Yeah? We happen to fall in that because that is our nature. Give to me. Give me what I need. And we have the whole idea that life around us is that we need to get that which satisfies us. Brethren, we're going to be that way till we get to heaven. We're not going to be as bad as we were when we were lost, but we're not going to be perfect even that we are found. We're going to find ourselves even still wanting something. Do something for me. Give me this. Give me that. And we don't look at all that Christ has done for us. And we come to a point where some people say our prayers turn into gimme, then coming into thanksgiving to Christ and who He is for us. Can we take what the Lord gives to us, as we call sometimes those dark providences, and say, Lord, You have brought this upon me. All things work together for good. I will just rest in You right now, even as I have this providence upon me. No, we want God to move it. And again, that's almost a sense of give me. So here we find in the first point I have for you this morning, that the desires and concerns of the people, it was all about themselves. And I ask you to think, if you're not in Christ this morning, I ask you to think right now, what is it that moves you mostly? Is it all about yourself? Is it all about what you want in life? Is it all about what you're striving to get? Are you trying to make your life what you think is going to be the best thing? And when you come here and you listen to the Word of God, are you trying to hear what Jesus can do for you as far as life? Or do you really think about what you need as far as your soul is concerned? Secondly, we find Jesus tells them what their real concern must be. And I put that there and I underlined it in my note, must be. Not what it ought to be, not what it should be. What their real concern must be. Jesus goes and He talks about now, there's something different here, and Christ states this. And He states that it's something that they ought to put their minds on. Notice as you look in verse 32. Now they spoke about the fact that their fathers in the wilderness had Moses. He brought down the manna in the wilderness and fed them. He kept them. They ate the manna for 40 years. And it just came out of the sky and came down. And so they looked at that and said, look what Moses did. So what are you going to do? Now again, eyes closed to all the signs Jesus has done up to this point. And so here, then basically what He says to them in verse 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Now, it should be clear to them, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about something entirely different. You see, they understood this at least. How much of it had eroded up to this point, I'm not sure. That there was only life that comes to them, it came from God. You see, if they would look back and just read through the Old Testament events, that the Father was with them all the ways. God was there. God provided for them. God gave them everything they needed. God was with them, though it seemed like He wasn't, even when they were slaves in Egypt. But when He brought them out, He was with them all along. Everything, in some cases, what they murmured for, God gave it to them. He had to punish them afterwards, but God was the one who would take care of them. And even when they would come out of the wilderness, was going to go across the Red Sea, God reminded them through Moses that He would take care of them. He would give everything for them. Their baskets will be filled. They would go in and come out. No harm whatsoever. If they kept to His word, He would provide everything for them. We saw a sense of that in the reading of the Psalm this morning. He would be the one. Everything they need, He would give to them. And so they saw that again. They saw it only in the physical sense, the here and now. The natural, this body, that was all. But Jesus now points to something else. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, Lord, give us this bread. And so Jesus says, okay, I'm going to let you know what this bread is. And He tells them in saying this, this is what you need to focus on. He says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So now he says, here's what's set before you. It is me that you need to look to. Now you know this is something they did not want. I don't care what, however you look at them. I don't care how kindly they were. They looked at this one as a renegade, a Johnny come lately, somebody who had not gone to the Pharisaical schools. Where did he learn this? No, not this man. You telling us to come to you? Well, I don't know about this. But Jesus made it clear. And then as he says, he goes on, he says, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe me. What do they need in order to believe? You remember some say, well, you know what? If somebody would come back and tell somebody what hell really is, they will believe. There's the event in the scriptures that you said that. Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man tells Jesus, send Lazarus back. Let him warn my brothers so they don't come to this place. Jesus said, even if one come back from the dead, they won't hear him. He says, besides, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If you won't hear, now hear Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He's the Word amongst them. And he is the one who's speaking the Word in all power. And they could even be amazed at the time that he spoke. But now he says, I am the bread of life, but you will not believe me. But Jesus tells them, and notice the words. Jesus takes the truth of physical food that's needed. And he says of him, if you come to me, you will no longer hunger, nor will you thirst. You will be completely satisfied. Remember the woman at the well? He said to her, give me a drink. She says, you being a Jew, you don't speak to Samaritan. Why do you ask me to give you a drink? He said, if you knew who I was, you asked me for a drink. And you'll never come to this well again. Evermore, Lord, give me that drink, that water. So here they are. They don't know. They don't understand. Now Jesus goes in and he tells them the truth about those who will come to him. Verses 36 down to 40. But so he's saying here that here is what you need to understand. The food that I'm talking about. Remember they said here's the food that brings up into eternal life. What I'm talking about. This is different food. When you eat this food you will never perish. This food endures to eternal life. Here's the food that I'm presenting to you. This is the food you need to look to. This natural food that you long for so much, and ones that you want, that's what you want to eat. It is not the same. But Jesus is making a comparison here. That is that how is it and what is it the importance of the bread of life? Now we know what real food does. And we know the fact that we have to eat food. The body would die if we didn't eat food. We are wonderfully made by God. Muscles, bones, nerves and sinews and everything there together. If we do not eat food, we will no longer live. We can live a little longer without food, without water rather than we can with food. But and that's vice versa. I think that depends on the person and where he or she is at the structure of life at that particular time. Cut off food. You're going to eventually die. Or the body itself is going to begin to deteriorate. And that's why we look around now. People talk about today. You have to have these special diets. Good diets. The right kind of diet. In order to supply all the nourishment that is needed to the body. Now Jesus is looking at this. And Jesus is saying that this is what you have to see. All that you see as far as your physical life and what you need in order to sustain that physical life, you need to see. Is spiritual life, you need to sustain that also. And he puts that in the whole metaphor of eating. And he says, I am what you eat. I am the bread of life. So he tells them, this is the very thing that you need to look at now. Jesus is really saying to them, get your minds away from the world right here and now. You need to think about something more important to you than that. And I ask each one of you today, have you come to the point where your mind is more upon eternal life than physical life? Because this is what Christ is actually saying. More upon eternal life than physical life. Now, I'm saying you have no concern about physical life, because really, if you're a man or woman of God, you want to even know that this body belongs to the Lord, and so you can do all you can to preserve it. But I'm saying, are we at the point where there's more concern on physical life than there is on eternal life? Now, that's a question each one of us have to ask. How often do we think about where we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? How often do we think that what I'm doing with this body now is a preparation to be with Jesus in the end? Each one of us, we will say, I look for the day when I will leave this world and I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But do we look for the day in a sense that we're preparing for that day? Do look for, in a sense, what we're doing all that we can. Are we feeding upon the bread of life? And even I can say, are we feeding upon it daily? I tell you, it's hard to get us to miss a meal, isn't it, of the physical food. Each meal come around, we're ready for it. And we joke about food. We like food, don't we? We talk about food. We even joke about food. We even laugh about how some people like their food. What about the bread of life? Do we talk much about that? Do we talk much about what is supplied to us as we feed upon Jesus Christ? So here in the second point, what Jesus was doing for them, he was showing to them that there is one that's a real concern that each one of them must place their attention upon. He was taking them from the fact that they ate this food here and now, but they need to eat something even more important to them. They need to start getting their minds upon a different diet, if I could say it that way. A spiritual diet. Knowing where it comes from. And so now my final point, Jesus explains to them who he is and what he can do for them and what they must do in order to receive him. Notice that Christ, he goes on. He mentioned that he was the bread of life. He mentioned the fact that what we have here is that there is that coming and feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is the bread of life. It is life in itself. This bread has life in it. He is speaking about himself, and the only way anyone will have spiritual life is that they must take this bread. This bread must be the one that they focus themselves upon. Now, in verse 41 and down, Jesus really opens up the whole picture of what is going to take place. And the occasion, I believe, helps them to do that because, naturally, as they were, they begin to murmur. They begin to start talking about them. Who does this guy think he is, right? Verse 41, therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Now, I would agree with them. That's a hard thing to take in mind. You remember now, put yourself back in their shoes. Here they are, people who have now attached to the true Israelites, those who were brought out by God, made special people for him, and he was the one, set up all worship and everything. Now here, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, I've come down from heaven. How would you look at him at that time? If you were actually, you follow the law of Moses, what we read this morning out of Leviticus, living to that point as you could at that part, because they didn't have the same things that they had then when Jesus walked as they had under the old system, because everything got destroyed, and basically now they were under the rule of Rome. But they did best they could, but they kept looking back to there. What would you say if one said, I am the bread that came down from heaven? Well, you would say the same thing they said. We know this guy. We know his father, we know his mother, we know his sister, brother. You know, what do you mean he came down out of heaven? You see, still, the thoughts are natural thoughts. They haven't even, at this point, come out of the natural, begin to think spiritually. Jesus says, I have come down out of heaven. And he tells them, don't grumble. And then he tells them the whole fact of salvation now in grace is going to come through him and through him alone. I'm going to skip past a few verses. But then he says in verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Now, Jesus saying, there's two things that's always in the mind. And I believe in the mind of the Hebrew. Physical life and eternal life. They believed there was a such thing as eternal life. Now I know that you read some that there were those who are part of Israel. You had the Sadducees and you had the Pharisees. And some believed in the spirits and some believed in the angels. Some did not. But they believed there was an eternal life. Most of them believed in the resurrection too. Martha and her sister, they proved that to us also, that there was a resurrection of the body. They believed in that. Because she said, even though Lazarus is dead, I know he will rise in the resurrection. They understood that. But now Jesus said, now, you need to stop looking just at the physical life. Now you need to look at eternal life. And this is a wonderful thing, people, because it's telling us that you have to, our thoughts and our understanding have to go beyond the hearing, beyond what's going on right here. How, are we going to end at this life? Well, a lot of people say, when you're dead, you're dead. And that's it. But Jesus said, that is not the case. So when he goes down to verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. He who trusts in me has eternal life. Now, in this speaking, when he's speaking of the trusting and believing in him, it is actually indicating a coming to Christ. It means to believe in him is put all your trust and hope in him. This is speaking of complete commitment to Jesus Christ. Not saying a nice word to him, not even tipping your hat, in a sense, to him. Well, people talk about Allah, they talk about Buddha, they talk about this, they talk about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tip my hat. He does really exist. I believe he exists. Some of you children, you believe he exists because you've heard so much about him. You've been taught about him in Sunday school. But you're not trusting in him. You have not come and put all your trust in him. You are not come to let you look to him for him to sustain you in life and eternally. You don't have that yet. Jesus goes on. And it's almost as if he just takes this point and he shoves it right before them and says to them, you cannot get away from this. And basically, you're going to know this even more deeper as it goes on. Verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Their attention should be, as it were, perked up at this point. This man is talking about something entirely different. He's speaking of something that we not dying, never dying. And again, there were those who would understand there is a resurrection. They believe in the resurrection of the body. So they believe. But Jesus goes on now and he opens it up so clearly for them. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, again, whoa. What is this man saying? You see that in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They didn't understand. See, all that had to be done in order for eternal life to be brought is that this body of Christ had to go through what it needed to go through. And I believe that's what we see where he says, this is my body which is broken for you. It had to go through all in order for life to be brought to us. Jesus took upon himself a body. He came into our world. He came as we are in order to give us eternal life. And so he's saying, this body which I come into the world with, it must be given. And it's going to be the very thing that you're going to see that will be given for you in order for you to live. And therefore, you must now partake of this body. Now, this is still, Jesus is speaking in a spiritual sense. And he's telling us that this is where the whole focus must be. Verse 53, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He points to another thing there. I am the bread of life. There's life in this bread. There's life in me. That life must come to you. And the only way it's going to come to you is you must eat the flesh and drink his blood. You must take it in. Jesus is now using a metaphor here, what we could see. What do? With natural food. What do? We eat, don't we? And all the sustenance that we eat and all that's supplied in that food, all the nourishment and all the vitamins, everything supplied in the food, it gives life to the body. It helps us to be able to function. There's many things talking about now. You may go back a little while ago, the problem changed now. They gave you this pyramid. What things to eat on the top and so on, going all the way down. Enough of this. Spoonfuls of this and so, all of it. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. It's bad for this. It's bad for that. But the picture is, from food, we receive the proper nourishment in order for the physical body to live. And if we eat wrong foods, we'll mess up the physical body. So Jesus is using now, unless we get the proper food, medicine from him, which is a nourishment from him, we live. He's saying, this is it. It all comes from me. No more Israelite worshiping the worship as we had and we received from Moses. It's from me now. And Jesus is making it so clear. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Appropriate me. Come close to me. Take me into your heart. Take me into you. You live from me. And again, we know Christ is talking about the spiritual. But I believe what we can see and understand here, without this, there would be no spiritual life, Christ is saying. Christ is saying, I don't care what you and I do. We can have all the religious acts in the world. We can belong to the best Christian church in the world. We can study Christian doctrine as much as we want. We can be able to recite it back. We can memorize all the verses and scriptures. We can be officers in the church. But if we have not taken Jesus, we have nothing. Nothing at all. And this is what he's saying. Here's what it has to be. So we are not to be those, and we should not be those who are walking around with some kind of, you know how they did in the Old Testament, the priest and everything, they had on the cap over here, and they knew who they were. A lot of people today in their religion, they want to walk around so you can see their religion. I'm a religious person. Catholicism got all messed up. They think that they have to show you who they are by their dress. Puritans, the Protestant Reformation, it came out because under the, not only the Church of Rome, but the Church of England, all, and all this outward show, everything, you had to have the vestures, you have to look like you are the religious man, and all that stuff. The Puritans threw away all that stuff. It's not the outward dress, it's what's in the heart. That we have them walk around today. Ministers. You got to have these nose flowing robes so you see that they are ministered. I did a funeral at the Naval Academy. And we went into this room and they had all the different ones there. Because every religion is almost was represented there. So, you know, when you do something, all over there. the Jewish rabbi, the priest, everyone, and all of them had, they had closets where you get the robe. What happened? The Protestant chaplain there, he took me to the woman in the house and said, no, I don't wear a robe. And I'm walking up there, all these robes are flowing. You walk down this aisle to go up to the podium there, all that sit up there, you know. You walk out, and here you come in this march, and all these fancy dressed men representing the God who they serve. I'm out here just with my suit. I'm a nobody. Yeah. But this is what it's like. So people think that what you show is really who you are. The reason why you see nothing but this plain white wall building is that we don't look at show. What you get here, it has to be that which is in the heart. And Jesus says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And here's what we try to do for you every day. We want you to find that soul, eternal soul refreshment in Christ Jesus. Not in things, not in to-do, not in actions. But we know when you do that, you are going to be those who will act in a certain way. You're going to live in a certain way. Jesus says, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And so when we find ourselves feasting upon Christ to take his word, we find that this is the right thing to do. He says again, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. You see, he's talking about communion. He's talking about fellowship with him. He's talking about a new life now. We're talking about what we gain. We are connected to Christ, not what we do. We need to stop, dear brethren, and I'm not indicating that no, anyone is not doing this, but we need to stop and make sure each day we're thinking more about in Christ than in a sense of Christ. A lot of people can tell you about Christ, but they don't know Christ. We need to make sure we're moving closer and closer to him, that we're doing this, what we call the spiritual feeding upon Jesus Christ. He says in verse 47, as the living Father sent me, and I have live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. Spiritual life is not what we practice, what we study, what we think we know, what we go over again, and little actions. Now, if those acts, and they ought to be done from the heart to the glory of Christ, brethren, they're right. But that, because that will be done because of our connection to Christ. And this gives me a final a point that we come to as far as our application. Where are you right now? And I'm not saying this to turn you upside down or to belittle you. I'm saying it to me too. Where are we right now in our walk with Christ? Is it that kind of walk that we have, and basically we can do everything else in the world we want to do, and we have little time for Christ? Is that eating and feeding upon Jesus? Now, I'm not saying also you have to be a monk, put yourself in a room and never leave your Bible and never leave worship and never leave prayer, and the rest of the world, you just close off to it. We found out that that was wrong too, didn't we? Because it all became an act. But what I'm saying, people, what motivates you? What moves you? Is it to please Christ because you're connected to Christ? Do you know what it is to love Christ? To really know he is the one, the mercy and the grace that has come to us, each one of us is going to be in different levels because Christ deals with each one of us individually. You know, the one thing they said about Christianity, it's not a group thing. We all are alike. Yes, he builds his church, but he builds his church as he takes individuals and draw them to himself. Connect with them. He puts them in his church and we live as one. But there is a different relationship with each one of us between who we are in Christ. And all of us should say at times, where am I right now? Is the world most prominent in our minds? Is who we are, what we can get, what we do, How we enjoy the world, is that most prominent? Or is it Christ? And what I do out of my relationship to Christ. Is it as we find ourselves? And he says, believing in him, coming to him, do we find ourselves hungering for him throughout our day sometime? We can't legislate when you ought to read your Bible, when you ought to have your time of prayer, but do you find yourself longing for Christ to be with him and to gain and earn more of Christ through your very relationship with him? Or is it that you can pass days doing every other thing so important, and have no thought of Christ, or little thought of Christ? You see, Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. And he's indicating that the bread is and has life in itself, and that life comes to us through him. How are we living a spiritual life, which is pointing on to that eternal life, that refreshment in Christ, is how we live to him. Every one of us should say, what is my relationship to Christ? He is one for us, dear people. He is one that calls us to think about Christ. Now, in closing, those of you who are not converted, Jesus makes it plain. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me and will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Again, we see Christ is talking about spiritual food. He's not talking about physical food there. Some people are hungry in a spiritual sense. You're trying your best to satisfy this inner pain and hurt and emptiness. You're trying things from the world. You think that this would do it. You know how it is. The people out there, they think a better, bigger house and a better car, sometimes a better wife or a better husband, better job, it's going to satisfy everything that's in me. When man say there's a hole in the soul of those who are not yearning, not longing or becoming a part of God, and it's yearning for God, and it will never be satisfied until that hole is filled with God. I say to you, maybe you're yearning right now. Maybe you really don't understand what it is. But you've been heard time and time again. You need to run to Christ. And I can tell you, and probably most of us in here can tell you, some of the things we didn't realize what it was until Christ saved us. And we found a lot of those things that were so much problems or concern for us before we got saved, they were just wiped away. So this is what you need to do. He is the bread of life. Feed upon him. And if you're looking and you're young and you're saying, well, I don't really know what that means. Ask your mother or father. Ask any of us who are here. How do I do that? How do I understand that? You'll get the truth of it. But don't think and continue to go, well, you know what? I can live my life the way it is. I don't need that. I don't need Christ. Forget about it. Well, you're going to be a thirsty, hungry person for the rest of your life. You're going to be a thirsty, hungry person even if God does not bring it to himself, even when you're cast into hell. Still yearning. Yearning for something that would never satisfy you. But yet, in the same time, weeping and wailing. May God have mercy upon us. You who know him, may we know the mercy and loving kindness of God, that Jesus came in order that we might live. May you who know him not plead to Christ that he will make himself known to you. Let us pray.